Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight on the Age of Heroes, Quests for Optimal Wellness, I am proud to bring you The Art of Healing with Kak Young. Greetings and welcome, Kak. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Hercules. And our guest tonight is a unique and fascinating man. I mean, he's incredible. So awesome. Let me tell you why. First of all, he's been married for 30 years, and he's the father of three children. At heart, he's kind of a blue-collar kid from Buffalo, but the death of his son opened a new world for him, communicating with the other side. So we're going to have him on tonight to discuss two of his amazing books, My Search for Christopher on the Other Side, and his second book, We're Not Done Yet, Pop, My Lessons from the Other Side. His stated goal is to take people to the next level of discovery and understanding, and he admits that his son Christopher's transition has changed him for the better. And now he even speaks with parents who have lost a child or seemingly lost a child, and he seeks to bring them comfort and hope and maybe connection. Welcome, Mr. McQuillan.
Well, Kat, that's an amazing opening. Thank you. And when people call Mr. McQuillan, I look around for my dad. And
I wanted to be a little more formal because I have such respect for you, Joe. And,
oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're great. And I love how you say, you know, you're kind of most the unlikely type of guy to be talking to your son on the other side. So let's just dive right into it. Take us back,
sure,
please, to January 3rd. 2016. Your son walks out the door to go to a party, and then what happened?
You know, I didn't even say goodbye to him. You know, I made him and his friend Patrick some London broil sandwiches and then went on my way. And, you know, an hour or so later, they headed up. You know, they were home from college. They were all 21 local kids, and they were home, and this was the last weekend before Christmas break ended, the 2000, and you know, the Christmas break, which was coming to an end, and so Christopher and a dozen boys and gals headed up to southern Wisconsin, an hour and a half north of, I'm in the north side of Chicago, and to kick up their heels for the last Saturday night. They're all going up Saturday morning, spend the night, coming home, and Christopher's plan was to come home and watch the Bills game and then drive off to northern Illinois to get back to school. So, they left, and I got the next morning I was waiting for him to join me and his little brother to watch the Bills game, you know, and it was the crazy things you remember. It was the Bills-Raiders game. And I texted him, "Hey, buddy, where are you?" And I got a text from the young man whose parents owned the lake house. It said, "Mr. McHugh, Chris and three friends are missing."
Ooh.
So I jumped in my Jeep and grabbed my Labrador and hunting boots and jumped in the car. Now, I truly expected Cat to find him in a boathouse with a co-ed or a kegger down the street. You know, he was a lot like his old man at that age. You know, I'm 37 years sober for a reason. You know, I was a bit of a wild child. Turns out what happened was, they all went up there, met at the lake house. Nobody was driving. They walked to a local tavern where they kicked up their heels and shot pool and drank and came back to the house and played pool and ping pong and continued the party. And Chris and three friends went outside probably to get high, just being curious 21-year-olds. And they stumble on the boathouse, which was unlocked, and they went in and, you know, saw canoes. So, you know, four boys, jumped in a three-man canoe, and it was a perfect storm. It was, partially frozen lake, layered clothing, Timberland boots, snoot full of alcohol.
Mm.
Four of them paddled out, and none of them made it back. I was half driving up, and halfway up, I got a call from the guy's uncle who lived in the area and said, "Mr. McHugh, it's no longer a search, but a recovery. All four boys drowned."
Ugh.
And that obviously, my life, the world stopped spinning. And at times, I don't think it ever started again since that cat. But the world stopped spinning for me. But one thing I did recall, that 16 years before this, I had seen a medium kind of on a lark. I think I had a business that was struggling, and I thought, let's cut any edge I can. Healer, medium, and most of the reading, and she's a pal of mine to this day. When I go to Arizona, I visit her. But most of the reading, there was no sense of urgency. It was rather mundane. My parents left, and they were young. They were in their 70s, but not totally out of order. And there was no real sense of urgency, but I went, and at the end of the reading, she said to me, "Your dad's here, and he's holding a caboose, and he's telling you railroad." Now, my dad spent 40 years on the railroad. We had 10 kids, 5 boys, 5 girls. All 5 boys worked on the railroad during college, and I stayed on as a brakeman for a few years after a good union job. My uncle was a railroad. My grandfather, we were a railroad family. So when he said that, and I had no idea until I looked back, in reverse and saw what happened, was that he gave me the knowledge, God, my father, the knowledge that there was a connection on the other side. And that was it. He just said railroad. So I was like, well, I know the old man's on the other side. So driving up to Lake Beulah, I thought, wait a minute, if my dad's on the other side, then Chris is with us. Now, my dad never met my son. He'd gone before these kids were born. He was gone before I was even married. But we were clannish. We're a very clannish family. To this day, we get together every year, 40 of us up in just near Niagara Falls, and rented lake houses, beach houses in the same community. And we've been doing that since Chris was a little boy. So we're a clannish family. So I knew that if my old man was somewhere, Chris was with him. So all I had to do was figure out a way to connect. I wasn't ready to face the world cat without my son. So if there was a way to figure out if he was there, I was going to figure it out. And by the way, Kat, if it was hokey, new age BS, I was going to cross it off the list. And that started my journey.
Well, but you also, now tell me, take me back to 1976 in Lilydale.
No, that wasn't 1976. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, here. In 1976, not far from Lilydale, I was a sophomore in college at Fredonia State, and I was on a picnic with a very pretty girl named Robin Guayasamy. And you know what she is to this day? She's an animal medium in Wisconsin. I met her. I know it. So we were on a picnic, and she was telling me that her mom was a medium at Lilydale. Now, she was really sheepish about it, like kind of embarrassing. Like, it wasn't like she was saying her mom was a stripper. She was a medium, But I was very curious, and I think at first I was kind of a wise guy. So I think at first she was worried that I wasn't being serious about my interest, but I was. I just found it intriguing. Now, to be honest with Kat, I thought Lilydale was up where Rip Van Winkle was, up in the Adirondacks or something. I had no idea that it was 15 minutes away from where I was sitting on that picnic. So, she told me all about it. I thought that was amazingly interesting, and I put that in the file cabinet that I drew on later on. It was only after I published my first book, and we have a little band that plays at our golf outing, and one of my best friends, a guy named Paul Fitzpatrick, and he had a band called Fitz and the Celts, an Irish band. So we planned this, and so we, when the book first got published, we went to his house for dinner with my other friend Bradley and his wife, and he started telling me about Lilydale. I go, wait a minute, what do you mean it's near Buffalo? I grew up in Buffalo. He goes, I was flying to Buffalo. I was flying to Buffalo for a meeting, and it was canceled, so I went to Lilydale, I knew nothing about it. And my cousin came through and described the car that he died in. I said, holy cow. And he told me about this documentary. It's called Nobody Dies in Lilydale. So all of a sudden, I was like, I need to go there. You know, so in 2018, I was publishing, and I was doing a book signing in Buffalo, and I had a couple of interviews with local stations, newspaper, television stations, but I spent the night in Lilydale and had one of the most soul-shaking, moving experiences of my life. Lilydale's for real. It's put that on your thin place list because it's important.
So you asked, so this led you to try and contact Christopher then in Lilydale, right? Yeah.
Well, I didn't go to Lilydale. So after Christopher dropped, I mean days after Christopher dropped, I reached out to the medium. Nancy Myers is her name, and she's in Surprise, Arizona now. She was the medium from 16 years before, and I reached her by phone, and I said, I need to try to talk to my son and just transition. And she said to me, you know, it's a little soon. He may not be settled in. He might not be unpacked yet, you know.
Right.
Life reviews and such, right? And she said, but let's give it a whirl. Well, she told me things, Kat, that I wouldn't know until I got the coroner's report. She told me things about it. And then she said to me, he's calling you something. It's not Dad. Did he call you Pip or Pap? I said, no, he called me Pops. He goes, oh, that's what he's calling you, Pop, you know. And then he mispronounced her name, and he was funny. I heard her talk, and she said, he called her Nancy, Chris did in Spirit World. And she said, Chris, my name is Nancy. You know? And so I continued with her for a couple of sessions, and they were good, you know, but I was actually greedy, and I wanted more. I was about ankle deep in this whole metaphysical thing, you know. But I wanted more, and so I reached out. Bob Olson wrote a great book about, he's an investigator in L.A. about the lessons from the other side the existence of the other side. And it was a wonderful book, and he had a website. And I looked up a guy named Andrew Henderson, who was highly rated. I saw he was about 40 minutes from my house, and I figured I would give it a whirl. You know, I made the appointment. I always keep an escape hatch, you know. I'm not easy to corner, you know. So I figured all he had was my first name. And, you know, you didn't pay him ahead of time. You didn't give him anything. He said, bring some pictures of who you want to contact. And I figured, you know what, if this doesn't feel comfortable, I'm just going to turn around and walk out, you know, and, you know, pay my bill and leave, like at a bad restaurant. But I did two things before I went to visit him, and this was June 30th of 2016, so 6 months after my son transitioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I did two things. I there was a bracelet when he was five or six that he gave me in Disney World that said Dad on it, leather bracelet, and it had a picture of Goofy on the clasp. And a couple of days before, I had ordered shamrock seeds from Amazon. Now, one funny thing, it tells you a little bit about my personality, is he was born January, we buried him, in January of 2016, January 8th of 2016, we buried him in a wonderful place called Sacred Heart Cemetery. But the snow, it was frozen ground. It was snow covered. And so we bought a number of plots, and the woman asked me where I wanted to bury him. I said, let's put him on the end. You know, it's a nice tree over there. But when the snow melted, you could see that he was buried right next to another couple, even though there were blank plots that we had bought, you know, to the other side of him. And I was livid. You know, nobody was going to think this was somebody else's kid. This was my son. So, you know, I held my breath. I stamped my feet. You know, I yelled, you know, threw an occasional thing around. And ended up writing a check to move him over one plot. Now, I'm going to be in the plot that he was in. So the ground in June, they had to wait for the ground to soften to be able to move him over. And they reinterred him, moved him in that middle spot, and Sally will be on the other side, his mama. And so I thought this is a great time to plant some shamrock seeds because the ground was all loose still. So nobody knew I had these seeds. This wasn't, you know, this wasn't a secret. I wasn't hiding, you know, shamrocks from my lovely Protestant wife, you know. It was just, it didn't come up, you know. So I was going to stop. I stopped at the grave, as I do often, on the way to go see this Andrew Anderson cat. And I planted these shamrock seeds around the grave. And then I had put that bracelet on that was in my dresser, you know, for all those, you know, for some 15 years. And I put that on under my cuff, and I went out and saw Andrew and brought some pictures. And he looked at me, and he said, you know, Chris is gorgeous. He looks like Brad Pitt. And another medium that said the same thing. And he said, you know, he died in a small boat accident. I said, yeah, he said, he's acknowledging that it was his fault, you know, that he made a bad decision. You know, it was just a stupid mistake. He said, Dad, it wasn't even his idea this time, which was pretty unusual, you know. And he said, your son's acknowledging that you're wearing a bracelet he gave you, and he acknowledges you were at his grave planting something. This was 15 minutes into this reading. And that's the moment, Cac, when I hope all your listeners eventually get to that moment where I went from believing to knowing. I knew he was on the other side now. I knew he could connect with me. And more importantly, I knew that I could connect with him. And that's where we went. That's where we went from there.
Well, you like to use the terms that they are not gone, they are still here. And is that what this means to you, that you still have access to Christopher?
Well, I stole that term from a very wonderful medium and author and friend, Susan Giesman. So she has a book entitled Still Right Here. And when I inscribe my book to parents of lost kids, I often write that they're still right here. And that's really what they are, Kat. They are, you know, and I had no idea this prior to January 3rd, 2016. I mean, I was raised a Catholic and attended Mass, you know, when Mom caught me and made me go for, you know, we'd go for like half the Mass and had to get home for the touch football game, you know. And you know, and so I had a basis of spirituality, but it wasn't certainly a part of my daily life. Right. I believed in God the same way I believe in the Postmaster General. It doesn't mean our lives intersect. Right. And that's where I was at that point. Now, I'm a different guy than I was prior to January 3rd, 2016. You know, there's a what's funny because I do this when you know, you've seen the book, you've seen the cover. I don't look like a guy. I'm sitting out here on my beloved sister, Marcia, who was Christopher's godmother. She's in heaven. They're together. She's come through. I'm on her veranda. I'm down here in Florida for a little bit wearing mala beads, you know, burning candles, sage. I've got some siesta key sand I spread when I meditate and connect. Now, if you saw me with my crew cut and my kind of bent nose, I don't look like a guy that would do that, you know. And before January 3rd, I wasn't that guy. But that's who I am now. You know, and there's a great poem from Haruki Murakami that said, and once the storm is over, you won't remember how you made it through, how you managed to survive. You won't even be sure whether the storm is really over. But one thing is certain. When you come out of the storm, you won't be the same person who walked in. That's what storms are all about.
But what drove you to want to talk to Christopher? Why was that so important to you?
Because I wasn't ready or willing to face a world without him. So if there was a way to access him, I wanted to know. You know, there was this intense love between us. I mean, I just adored that boy, and he adored me, and he had this wonderful, and he was a handful, Jack. He was a handful for his mom. He was a handful for me, and I was a handful growing up, you know. But we had this connection. I mean, the truth of the matter is, going back, you know, hindsight, you know, 7 years, going backwards, I now know that Christopher and I have spent lives together before. You know, most of your listeners don't realize you've probably been through this 40 to 80 times. We've had 40 to 80 lifetimes. It's almost unimaginable. I just did a foreword for a book from a wonderful author, Sue Fredericks, and we did it for Helping Parents Heal. We did a presentation on Thin Places Only. I sent you something right before the show started.
Right, I got it. It's great. Yep.
Thin Places. And we did this jointly, and it's the first time I did a joint one with somebody. Really wonderful. It's kind of a yin and yang. I mean, she's lovely, warm, soft, you know. And there's me, I'm every guy, you know. So I just wasn't ready to give up the ghost, that there wasn't a way to connect. I'm not sure how I would have survived if I didn't know that he wasn't on the other side and that I know I'm going to see him again. I mean, I see him in meditation a couple of times. I hear him. I feel him. I know when he's around. I get a chill on the back of my neck just like I got. I was out here I'm overlooking the third fairway of a golf course, went out, lit a Chinese lantern and set it up last night. I do those things. I do those things to stay connected, to honor our connection. And you know, he's with me all the time. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I would gladly give up all this metaphysical wisdom that I have accumulated to be able to go play a round of golf and go get a burger with him tomorrow, right? It's a bad trade. But it's so much better than thinking it's all over, because it's not. And I'm not a naive guy. I spent 29 years of my life in the car business. I was a car dealer, right? You know, you're not going to pull the wool over my eyes. If this was hokey new age BS, I would have figured it out by now and found another way to kind of placate, you know, the pain, to try to heal my soul. But what I found out is that they're accessible to us. Here's what you got to do. And I send out, I probably send them to you, tips for connecting. I sent the chakra chart. I mean, I do the whole routine. And I put it all in order. And it's all the stuff I picked up along the way. I none of it's original. I didn't make up any of this. You know, Rumi said in the 12th century, the poet Rumi said, that goodbyes are for those who love with their eyes. For those who love with their heart and soul, there's no such thing as separation. Now, the thing is, how is this new age to what we're talking about when Rumi was telling that in the 12th century, right? I mean, that's the fact, that this has been ongoing. The other side has been reaching and connecting with us and us back, you know, since the dawn of time. You know, I just think now the veil is very, very thin. I think there's an awareness, and the difference between, you know, this side and the other is getting rice paper wall thin. And so if I can do this, Kak, if I can reach my son through connecting, through meditation, through this series of things that I do, I'm going to tell you, anybody can. You just got to get off your butt and do some of the work. You've got to raise your level of consciousness through meditation, your energy. You've got to raise your energy. They've got to lower theirs, and you meet in the middle. And it's
well, let me read your piece on Thin Places. I think it says it all. May I do that?
Give me a chance to smoke my cigar.
By all means. Okay, Thin Places. There's a Celtic saying that heaven and earth are only 3 feet apart. But in these thin places, the distance is even smaller. Thin places not only make us feel calm, but also transform us as if we're being unmasked. While we're at these places, we're aware that we're far more than just a physical being. We feel ourselves as a spiritual being, our true essential selves, body, mind, and soul. The thin places can be found anywhere on the planet, including churches, temples, beautiful landscapes, and ancient ruins.
How's that?
Yeah, I mean, it's really incredible. Now, I want you to go through your 6 steps. You pass it out, and I want to tell everybody who's probably just fascinated now, Joe McQuillan has a website. It's a wonderful site, and it is Joe, J-O-E, McQuillan, McQuillen.net, N-E-T. And in that, you can look up his tools because he's generous and he gives it away so that everybody can do this, which we were just talking about. So, Joe, walk us through how you reach the thin place that you are able to communicate with your own son and write the words down that he tells you.
Well, the first thing is, you know, there. I'm just going to explain how it happens to me, right? And what I've done is, and I've put these steps together because I really want everybody to be able to draw on, you know, the spirit that they're trying to connect with. So mine happens to have, I happen to have it, Christopher comes to me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, I subsequently found out why he comes through at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't understand, you know, why he was coming through at 3 o'clock in the morning. Initially, I thought it's because that's when he drowned, because he did. He drowned, and he actually gave me the exact time that he drowned later on. But, he drowned at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I thought that was, why. And it turns out that that's not why. Why was because between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning is called the bewitching hour. And that's when they're very, they're very active. The spirits are very active. So it started with me I'd get woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would go into my office, which used to be his bedroom. Now it's a happy place for us, right? It feels good. I would go in there just to feel close to him. And I started doing these certain steps, and I list them. And please, you know, my email is jbmcquillan@gmail.com. If your readers want these, I'll send them to them. You know, so I say find a quiet spot. Mine's in the office. I'm just going to tell you what I do, you know, and then if it works for you, God bless. But certain things, these are keys that let us connect. So I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I go in there. I have a chakra chart that I'll also send. Now, I don't look like a guy that aligns my chakras, but I do, right? Why? Because I want every advantage. I want to cut every edge. I want to connect with my son. This is important. This is paramount. You know, you say that Joe's sharing this, but the truth of the matter is, I got to give it away to keep it. I've been given this amazing gift to connect with my son, but it's just not for me to communicate with him. I'm connecting with him so I can share with parents who have broken hearts, who think it's all over, and tell them it's not. And if I can make a connection with my son, you can connect with your child. I get these amazing letters back, emails just saying, I've followed your steps. And I've made some connections, and it's changed my life. And I look at Chris, you know, a photo of Chris, and I say, you know, if nothing else ever comes to this, we've done our jobs, kid. You know, we've let people know there's a way to connect and maybe heal a broken heart a little bit. You know, there's a line from a movie called Manchester by the Sea, where a woman lost children and said, "My heart was broken, it'll always be broken." So, you know, I live this amazingly full life. You know, I'm meeting my buddy in golfing tomorrow, and I work very hard. I love to work. I love family. I love friends. But I go through life with a piece of my heart that's missing, and it will never be the same until the day I cross over and he meets me. In my office, I have no lights on when I'm doing this. I light candles. I have pictures of him in certain ages and stages. And I align my chakras. I have crystals. I spread siesta key sand. I, as I'm doing right now, I, I burn some sage just to cleanse the area. You know, then what I do is I take a guided meditation. One of my favorite of all times is this wonderful medium called Kareen, K-A-R-E-E-N, Kareen Bobel. She's out of California, and I've done a couple of readings and interviews with her. I love her. And she has a guided meditation, Reach the Other Side, that's just spot on. I just love it. So I put it on my phone. I listen to a guided meditation. After the guided meditation is over, Chris started coming through to me. Now, these days, I'm going to tell you that Chris comes through usually, you know, 5 minutes into the guided meditation and starts giving me messages to transcribe. But the first one he did, he came through and he described it. He said, you're going to love this place, Pop. It's like a beach. It's beautiful. It's warm. It's pink. The colors are vibrant. Pink, blues, and greens. The air is warm surrounding us. It's air. It's love and air everywhere. Nothing hurts. Happy and warm. Always young. Miss you, Dad, but I'll see you soon enough. You know, and so it was like, that was the first time that happened. It was on the anniversary of his crossing in 2017, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm wondering, Cac, if I'm leaving the reservation here. It's like I'm writing it down, but it's like, this is wild. You know, this isn't a medium. This is him coming through right to me.
Right.
So I started, everything that he said, I wrote down in longhand, in the dark, on a legal pad, and with candlelight, you know, and I assumed what I was going to do with all this documentation and medium sessions was I put them in a folder according to date, and I figured someday when I'm sitting on a porch in a rocking chair, I'll start reviewing them to feel close to my kid. But he had a different plan. His plan was for me to put all these together and write a book so that maybe we can heal a couple of hearts and maybe put parents on a path of connecting with their kids, you know. And that's our mission, man. That's what we're here for. And I know that I'm rounding third. You know, I'm 66. You know, I'm not going anywhere soon. But I also got to tell you that I've got zero fear of death because I know that I live this life beyond my wildest dreams. But the minute I step over, I'm with my son, and according to him, the whole McQuillan family are over there. You know, everybody who's crossed. And I get to be with him for the next race around the track, you know. So, you know, if God taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, you're in the lineup tomorrow, you know, that's the way it is, you know. But I think he keeps telling me that we got work to do yet. So I'm not going anywhere. You know, one really interesting thing is that first visit. And this is how I knew it wasn't me making this up like a sail on a wound, right? As he said, I love Scotty and he loved me. He was my pal. You got to let go of that. Well, Scotty's the kid whose parents owned the lake house, and I was mad at them. I had to be mad at somebody, right? So I'm mad
right.
at them, right? And he said, you got to let it go. And I thought, okay, pal, for you, I'll let it go. Besides, when will I ever see this kid again, right? You know? Well, fast forward 12 hours. I get a text from some of his fraternity buddies who are still like family. They're like my kids now. We go to all their weddings. We have a golf outing. They all show up. I love these kids. I really do. And they all kept Christopher in their hearts. And he's visited some of them. And I got a text that, hey, Mr. McHugh, we're at the grave. We're going to be at the grave this afternoon around 3 o'clock. Can you join us? And this is on the anniversary. Now, Chris Haley and I's plan was we were going to go and have a little ceremony of ourselves at sundown. But I thought, you know, sure, I'll go hang out with these guys, you know. And I threw a hockey cooler with some Gatorade and some beer and some cigars and pulled up. And the entire parking lot, the circular parking lot, was full. And there were 40 kids at his grave, 40 kids telling stories, hugging each other, loving each other. And the first kid I saw was Scotty, the one Christopher made me drop the resentment. And I was able to hug him and tell him it wasn't his fault, which it wasn't. They could have been at my house, Cac. It could have been at your house. You know, they just happened to be here when they acted up. They weren't babies. They were 21. And I was a reckless 21-year-old. But I thought, what a loving thing to do. This, I wasn't ready to let go. I wanted to hold on to this resentment, right? This kid is such a loving son that he was preparing me for this moment that was loving instead of awkward. That's how I knew, and it continued through the whole the whole sessions that we have to this day, at least twice a month, we have these 3 a.m. sessions. And it's changed. The first book was about my discovery, and the third book is all about messages for other people who experience loss. You know,
wonderful,
it's an amazing
wonderful.
Transformation. Yeah.
Now, has Christopher ever told you anything about a previous past life he's been before he was your son?
Great question. And he told me to do a past life regression. Now, here's a cool story. There's no coincidences. You and me talking, no coincidences. These are, you know, we're just following the breadcrumbs, right? This is what things are laid out.
Yes.
There's no coincidences. So I'm on a, I go to Arizona, and I was honored, I mean, absolutely honored to be able to speak at their international conference. Here's some big-time authors. My wife took classes. She's a therapist. And some of these people, you know, to get certified as grief counselors. I mean, these are heavy. Sue Geisman, God, Ireland, all of these people are monsters. And they asked me to speak, you know, it's like being called up from the minors, you know. And it was a wonderful experience. Now, there was a woman named Sue Frederick emailed me and said, how did I miss you at the conference? I presented. I wanted to meet you. I love your books. And I said, you know, I only came in for a couple of days. I was babysitting my daughter's puppy while my wife and daughter were in Europe. And I got asked last minute. I think somebody bailed and they saw an opportunity to bring an old ex-hockey player up to talk to the people. And so I had a wonderful chance. And she said, I want to interview you, you know, for my show. I said, love that. And then during it, we were talking. I talked to her about, you know, Chris wanted me to do. She said, what's new? I said, well, I'm going to continue to go to Thin Places, and I want to experience some other things like past life regression. She said, I'm a past life regressionist. Yeah, so the next week I did a past life regression with her. That's going in the third book. It's amazing. So Christopher and I have been in numerous lives, many, many lives together. I just read her book and love it. And it, you know, you got to be willing to learn. I mean, Chris tells me all the time, Pop, you're not an expert. You know, don't get cocky. You don't know that much, you know. There's a lot more to learn. And the one thing I learned, she talked about, I always hated the term, you know, that you were soulmates. I thought that was a hallmark term. But in the book that I just read of hers, she referred to soulmates as people who have been connected in other lifetimes, not love affairs. Christopher and I had been siblings, you know, so that's why we were so comfortable with each other. We've been siblings in other lifetimes. We could just be cat. We could sit in a room and chatter and listen to music, or we could just sit and drive and be. And that was the music. That was the wonderful strain of love that went between us that still is there when we connect. You know, so past life regression is a huge thing. We've been in. And I got to tell you, you know, when you meet somebody, my oldest friend in the world, Alan Conrad, I adore him. Alan and I met in 1971, freshman year in high school, Bishop Tyne in South Buffalo. And we've been best friends ever since. Now, that relationship wasn't forged on McKinley Avenue in South Buffalo. That was lifetimes ago. We've been in each other's lives before. And I think when you meet somebody and there's this instant bond, it's not an instant bond. It's a recall. Your soul knows that you've been together, you know.
Now, Joe, do spirits mm-hmm. feel guilt, and are there things that they wish they had done differently, things they left undone? Can they do them from the other side?
Well, yes, and here's you're really hitting the cover off the ball with these questions, because this is a brilliant question. The first 6 months that we connected with Chris, meaning me and Sally, and his little brother went to a medium, and he's come great. He's a very strong soul and spirit. He really comes through. And for the first 6 months, a lot of what we talked about, he would always say, I'm sorry for the pain I put you through. You know, it was a dumb mistake. I wish I could have changed it. You know, he's amazingly happy, but he had regrets. After 6 months, Andrew Anderson, who's a brilliant medium, said to me, he's made peace with that. He's not going to apologize again. He's done. You know, he knows that he's apologized and you've accepted it, right? So yes, it's different than regrets. I think they would love us to feel joy. And I think sometimes grief, intense grief early on, and you can't help it, Cac. You know, you can't help that intense grief. Sometimes that intense grief early on blocks your ability to connect. I think that's happened with Sally, that Sally was so intensely grief-stricken that it took a few months for her to be able to feel and acknowledge him around her, because she couldn't get, you know, that grief is like a block to the connection. So, but what do you tell somebody, you know? Get over it. Don't be silly. You know, anybody who said time heals all wounds never lost a kid. You're never,
right,
ever over it. But you acquire tools and you learn to live with it. And you learn. I mean, there's moments last night coming back after, you know, the 100 yards from where I was lighting the Chinese lantern and probably scaring the neighbors. I just started crying, you know, and it was a sadness. It was a longing. I feel Marsha, his godmother, who's here, her energy, this was her home, and Chris loved it here. You know, I'll tell you a wonderful thing with my sister Marsha. When she was, I would come just to be with her, and just because I would say, you know, Marsha, it hurts, and she goes, I know, honey. And I would travel 1,300 miles just for her to hug me and tell me, I know, honey. You know, she was a great source of love. Even when I wasn't lovable, she was a great source. When I was young, I might not have been so lovable. She was a great source of love, Kat. And before she transitioned, she said to me, Joey, honey, I read your book, which, of course, she was one of the first people. She goes, I read your book, and you gave me the greatest gift. I read your book, and I'm not afraid to die. I mean, just to be able to give her something back a year later. So she, you know, she transitioned coming up, and on February 6, 2019, she joined Christopher on the other side. And she, I went and saw a medium just before her anniversary on my birthday, January 9th, in 2017. And she said, you know, your son's here, of course, but there's another woman. And she described Marsha when she was in her 40s. And she said, did she call you Joey? I said, yeah, she did. She goes, because she's saying Joey and calling you honey. And she said, thank you for the greatest gift. You know, so when people say, you know, when they're trying to find a different way than the connected knots and this is real, how does that happen, right? I mean, that was Marsha coming through. You know, Chris told me, this is a wonderful story about transition. He said, Pop, when Marsha comes, I promise I'll be here. I'll walk her across. You know, I'll be on the other side when she comes across. I promise she'll never be alone for a moment. And after she transitioned, he said, you know, when Marsha came across, he said, I was there, the whole family, Jerry, Billy, Bobby, we were all there and greeted her. He said, but then she had to go somewhere, like a spa. And when she came back, she was even younger than when I was a kid. And it took me a while to process this. You know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer all the time. And what happened was Marsha, her body died because of cancer. And so when she transitioned, the cancer stayed with her body, but the trauma crossed with her soul. So she had to go somewhere like a spa where she went. And what a wonderful, for any woman, the term spa, where that trauma, you know, it was kind of washed away, cleansed away. And then she joined the family for the McQuillan gathering, which continues on the other side, you know. So, you know, those are things I had no idea. I'm not that smart, Cac, to be able to imagine that she would go there and what happens to the trauma, right? So I know they're together all the time.
Sure. Now, does your wife, Sally, is she able to communicate with Christopher as well?
She knows Christopher's around all the time, and she's been to mediums. As a matter of fact, there's a Lisa Morrison, who's a wonderful medium out of New York. I just popped in on one of her small group sessions, and Chris came last week, and I met her because I was doing a radio show out of New York, and they said, do you mind if a medium pops in? I go, no, I love it. And she, you know, quick reading and named the golf outing and talked about the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, he's got a Bills logo on his gravestone. And I mean, it was amazing. So I jumped into a small group meeting, reading, and came storming through, talked about an autographed football that Jim Kelly that I got from Jim Kelly after Christopher transitioned, which was an amazing story. She knew it. I forgot about it. I forgot that story, you know, until that morning. So Sally's actually going to be in a small group with Lisa Morrison tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And I had signed up for earlier, then another one came up, so I shopped it off. So she goes to meet him. She's seen all the mediums that I have, and Rebecca Rosen, and she's seen her in small groups. And Chris always comes through. He adored his mama. And always comes, he'd come to me for guidance. He'd come to her for soothing and love. When he got his heart broken, he didn't come to see his old man. He came to his mom, you know. And so they had this wonderful relationship. But she doesn't get the channeling that I get. And I think the reason is, I really believe this in my heart of hearts. And he tells me, Pop, you're a good ambassador because you don't look like the type of guy that would connect with the other side. You know, so you're going to make other parents, specifically fathers, drop the rock and try to follow your lead. He said, so you're a good ambassador is the term he uses for me all the time. You know, because you don't look like a guy that does what you do, you know.
Do you think Christopher is planning on reincarnating soon? And if so, who will you talk to if he does?
Oh, great question. All right. So one of my biggest fears when I first started on this journey, right, was that we were going to cross on the metaphysical superhighway. I'm going to die, you know, head to the other side and wave at him. He's coming back to the other side. I was like, oh, my God. I read the book. Bob Olson wrote a book, and I mentioned it before. And one of the things that Bob Olson talks about in this book is that, yeah, I'm looking up the book so your readers or your listeners can do it. Is that he said? Look, think of your soul as a body of water, right? Like a lake, okay? And all the souls are connected, and your spirit is a wave, right? He said so. This put me so much at peace and at ease. He said, so every soul has a whole bunch of waves. So the wave is the spirit of Chris McQuillan will always be, Chris McQuillan, age 21, will always be on the other side when you cross. Yet another wave from that same soul will be Chris McQuillan coming back to be a father or a coach. Or raise a family. He said, so you're not going to miss your son, but your son will come back just as a different way, all part of the same soul. So he said, you know, so not long ago, a medium said, you're going to recognize Christopher's soul in the eyes of your grandchildren. And where that used to,
wow,
that used to scare me that I might not see him when I cross, now I know that we're going to spend the next lifetime together. You know, him and I on the other side, even though he may have reincarnated. So Bob Olson's book is Answers About the Afterlife. It's really well worth getting. You can get it on Amazon. And it explained, you know, that was a wonderful philosophy that I could adapt early on so that I don't get anxious about missing him. You know, I'm looking forward to the next round that we're going to be together golfing on the other side and hanging out. You know, he told me
sure.
One time, he said, Pop, your life is good. Your side is good. He said, you know, it's like football camp. I played, you know, high school ball. And he said, you know, you stay over a football camp for 3 or 4 days in the summer. And, you know, he said it was hard work. You know, it's physically exhausting. You're sweating. It's August. You're beat up. You're dehydrated. You know, you're 3-day practice. But you're with your pals and you're you know, sharing pizza, eating food. You know, having a ball, listening to music. He said, that's good. He said, but it's hard. He said, my life's like a beach bungalow in Maui. Mine's better.
show, does Christopher interact with angels?
Yes. You know, his best description of angels is this. He said, try to describe, because I'm writing about a chapter on angels on the third book. And the third book is called One Foot in Both Worlds. And he talks to me and he said, Dad, the best way for you to figure out angels is they're like perfect dogs. They're there. And, you know, we always had Labradors. They're just loving, caring. He said, they're there just to bring you joy, guidance, and love. That's what angels are on this side. They're perfect dogs. Think about it.
Wow. Yes, yes. Now I have one big question for you. So does the other side, including Christopher, have a plan for humanity? And if they do, can you share it with us?
I will tell you this. After, you know, that horrible Florida hurricane,
yes.
Chris said, you know, let them know, Pop, you know, that let them know that, you know, God doesn't do this to them. You know, this happens. Although God rejoices in how they all come together to help each other. So I think what's important is, do you ever read the book or see the movie The Shack?
Yes.
Okay. It was an amazing, it really helped with a number of things for me to understand. But one thing is the woman who was God, the gentleman, this poor guy lost his family or his daughter in a horrible way. And God explained, just because I work incredible good out of unspeakable tragedies doesn't mean I orchestrate the tragedies. Don't ever assume that my using something means I caused it or I need it to accomplish my purpose. In other words, God doesn't do this to us. God didn't pull a rug out from under me. He didn't take my son to make me pay for past sins. My son's free will and recklessness caused him to cross early. And I know God welcomed him because he told me that, you know. But we have free will. You know, I believe we sign soul contracts. I want to renegotiate mine. you know, I don't want to lose my kid in the next soul contract. But I think we have soul contracts.
Yeah.
I think we have exit points, but then you connect that with free will. Rebecca Rosen told us in a group meeting, it was incredible, 300 people, and she walked up and said, who lost a kid, 21 years old, in a canoe accident? And I raised my hand. She goes, I see him wearing a Jimmy Buffett shirt, you know, singing a Jimmy Buffett song, and he's sending you a country music that says, live like you were dying, which is this wonderful Tim McGraw song. Anybody kicks off this thing, play that music, you know, live like you would die. And that's, we have a band that plays at our golf outing, and we do the One Stop World Tour, you know. Most of these guys are musicians, and they let me hang out with them. And that's a song that kind of keeps, that's the center force of us, you know. And so, you know, this was just like this drive-by reading in the middle of 300 people. You know, but she did say to us, your son had a soul contract that he was leaving early. If he didn't leave when he was 21, he would have left when he was 22. So, you know, we sign these agreements. God doesn't impose these on us. We sign these agreements, but we have free will, you know. So, you know, God doesn't wind us up or move us around like chess pieces. There is no way that's the way it is. God didn't take my son, you know. My son's recklessness caused him to join God.
All right. We have been speaking with Joe McQuillan, who is the author of two incredible books, My Search for Christopher on the Other Side, We're Not Done Yet, Pop, My Lessons from the Other Side, and coming up with a third book, One Foot in Both Sides, I think you called it.
One Foot in Both Worlds, yeah.
One Foot, Both Worlds, okay, and you can find him at Joe, spell it out, JoeMcQuillen.net. There he will give you the tools to connect with your loved ones, and he is an incredible human being. I just think we're blessed to have you.
Oh, my God. Tell my wife that, will you? I'm just really grateful. I'm really grateful that I'm on this path, that I can help others. I'm going to end with this. I live my life two ways now. I live my life to please my God and to make my son proud. As long as I follow those two tenets, I can't go wrong.
Well, Joe, you're doing it, and you did it tonight. And thank you for being here. I'm going to turn this over to our producer, Hercules, with my deepest gratitude to you, Joe, for a wonderful hour and the wonderful work that you're doing. God bless you. Hercules, it's all yours, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you both for a wonderful, uplifting, and thought-provoking show. And thanks to our listeners. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thanks again, Kak and Joe.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Hercules. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.